What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 460, and this week's episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing almost every week. We're here almost every week. Yep. And of course, right beside me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
I'm a little sad.
I'm very sad.
We've lost access to our Battlefield 6 open beta. Those 2 weeks in a row was
great. I literally played up until I was like...
Oh, I did too. I thought I was going to get kicked off.
Yeah. So I was like on Sunday? I was like out with some friends and I went to like a party and then I came home and I was like, I'm just going to go to bed. Like I'll be like responsible and go to bed. And I was like laying in bed and I was like, there's like a couple hours left. Maybe I should wake back up, like get out of bed and like turn my computer on and go back and play Battlefield 6. And
so that's what you did. That's funny.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. I do have to say,
so the first beta weekend we were playing, Ryan and I were playing together with Ryan's son and another friend and playing in just like most games, like playing with a team of people that, you know, you're all on like Discord voice chat and everything. Yep. That is so much more fun than just playing with randoms. Like you get blown up next to somebody and you're like, revive me. Yeah. The guy's just like standing there, just like not doing anything. You're like, bro, pick me up.
Frustrating.
Yeah. So that is, Battlefield, what, like, did you get into anything else the second beta weekend or play anything different or just experience anything different from the first beta weekend?
No, I was trying to, I wanted to get some time in like the helicopters and jets, but the only map that it had, it like, it was just like almost impossible to get in one. As soon as it was like refreshed, like you'd click it and it'd be like, oh, vehicle's already full. And you're like,
yeah,
all right, whatever.
Yeah, that is tough. I do think, shout out to EA, like they picked the perfect time to do the beta. That's all anybody was talking about. All the big streamers, that's what they were playing. Like there is nothing else going on. So it was like the perfect two weekends to do it. And it was sort of like right before the kids went back to school too. So like all the kids who are in high school and everything like that, they could play as well. So it was like literally everybody in like the tech and gaming world, that's literally all they were talking about for the past 2 weeks. I think.
No, it was good. It was.
Well done. Like my entire feed on Instagram was like all Battlefield stuff. Like that's just kind of what it was. So I think they did a good job. I had a lot of fun playing it. Definitely, we talked about it last week, but definitely felt like the older Battlefield games, like just the movement and everything within the game felt really, really good. I don't typically get excited about games, but I mean, I had a lot of fun playing it.
Yeah, it was a blast. I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, lots of action. I think that's the biggest thing too, is like, so many games we play these days are like, I mean, we play Apex and there is action obviously in that game, but like you're just running around and you're like looting and doing all that. Whereas like Battlefield, you're like in it. Like as soon as you spawn, you're essentially in it.
And last week I talked about it like being so chaotic and busy. And I think part of that was like, I didn't know the maps, right? And not that I'm an expert at the maps, but now I know my way around all of them for the most part. And so I can anticipate things. Whereas like weekend one, I had no idea, and you're like, it felt like people were anywhere and everywhere.
You had to kind of get used to the movement too, right? Yeah. Because like, if you're like, again, we play Apex, you're used to that style of movement. It's completely different.
Right.
So you had to get used to a lot of that and the controls and all of that. But yeah, kind of sad. We'll have to wait till October to get it. Maybe like, we'll do a big Battlefield 6 stream when it comes out or something like that.
For sure.
We could do something fun like that. But beyond that, we have a lot to talk about this week. I reviewed a gaming laptop, which has been a lot of fun testing. And I actually really, really like this laptop, not only just for a gaming laptop, but like if you want like a high powered laptop, that's not, I wouldn't call it that big, at least by my standards, not like Ryan's one laptop he used to bring to CES.
I saw the weight of this thing. So you can't make fun of mine too much.
I mean, it doesn't feel that heavy, which is wild. But yeah, so I took a look at a gaming laptop, and then we have a ton of news out of Gamescom. We have a very interesting graphics card, which I don't know how you feel about it. We'll talk about the design of this graphics card. and just a bunch of other stuff. Like I said, lots of gaming news this week because Gamescom is going on right now in Germany. If you did want to follow along or like click through the articles, or if you hear something that we're talking about and you want to, you know, you want more information, we do have our full show notes page on the website that has everything that we're going to be talking about right here as we go along. So if you hear about something or want more information, everything's linked. So you have all the access to that. So let's start out with my review of this gaming laptop. So this one was from Asus. And this was their ROG Strix G16. Now, there are a couple different versions of the G16. Essentially, there's an Intel version and there's an AMD version. This is the AMD version. And when it comes to laptops, there's not really a lot of AMD versions, right? Like, if you think of laptops just in general, it's like dominated by Intel, right? So this is the AMD version. And the reason this makes so much more sense is, what processor do you have right now, Ryan?
The 8800X3D.
You have an X3D part. X3D yep. part is perfect for gaming. It gives you that extra bit of performance, specifically in games. Well, this laptop has a Ryzen 9 9955H X3D, and they've teamed that with an RTX 5070 Ti laptop GPU. 32 gigabytes of DDR5, 16-inch display, which is an IPS panel, 240Hz panel, 2560 by 1600, 1 terabyte NVMe SSD. It's 5.5 pounds, but it just doesn't seem that big, like, to me. It does come with a decently large power brick. This is a 280-watt power brick.
Wow.
The cool thing about this laptop, though, is it does have Type-C ports on it. This power adapter is not Type-C, but it does have Type-C, and it will charge at 100 watts. So if you didn't want to bring the big power brick with you, you can still charge it via Type-C if you wanted to. So that's nice about this. Now, compared to some of the other Asus laptops, picking this up, like I said, it doesn't feel massive or heavy, but it does feel sort of a little plasticky, I guess, if that makes sense. But it still feels solid. The lid itself just has like the Asus logo on it. And then it says for those who dare on the side there. The lid itself is going to be metal. No RGB lighting on the lid or anything like that you've seen maybe on some other Asus laptops. As far as connectivity goes on one side, you do have, which is nice on a gaming laptop, you do have full-size Ethernet. So
if it is nice.
Plug this in, you definitely can do that. You also still get full-size HDMI. You don't see that on a lot of laptops these days because they just replace it with the USB 4 or Thunderbolt. So you have two USB 4 Type-Cs, combination headphone, microphone, and then this circle port is for that large power brick. And then on the opposite side, you have two more USB 3 Type-A ports. So no SD card slots, which I feel like we're never going to get those back.
I know.
They've taken them from us. But definitely a lot of connectivity. This also has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi 6E on it too. And then the biggest thing when it comes to laptops, before we get into the screen and stuff, is like upgradability. Like, can I upgrade this? Can I switch things out? So the bottom, there's like 11 screws. You have to take them off, but the bottom pops off a lot easier than I thought. Like, some of these, Ryan, if you've ever done this, like, you feel like you're going to break it.
Yeah,
this one kind of came off a lot easier, and you can see the internal cooling, and then you do get access to the memory. So if you did want to upgrade the memory, you can do that. You get access to the NVMe, which is right here. There's no two slots on this. There's just one, but you can upgrade it if you need to. And then you do get access to the Wi-Fi card. So it is Wi-Fi 6E. It'd be kind of pointless to upgrade to Wi-Fi 7, but if you really wanted to, you could. So that's everything as far as upgradability goes. Display, like I said, is a 16-inch 2560 by 1600 IPS display, 240Hz refresh rate, 500 nits of brightness. It is a very nice display. And the bezels are like super small on this. Like, if you look at the bezels on the side, just very, very small bezels. You do get a webcam It's 1080p. It's nothing to write home about. And there's a microphone array. The webcam does not support Windows Hello. And there is no fingerprint reader. So there's no like easy login to Windows. You have to type your password and do all that. So no easy login with either your face or biometrics. The keyboard is actually nice. I actually really like the keyboard on this. The keys feel good. They have a decent amount of travel. And it just, it feels like this was actually designed for you to use the keyboard. Like a lot of people get these gaming laptops and they connect like a mechanical keyboard. Yeah. But at least to me, like the keys are big, which again, you have limited space on a laptop. But these did feel good. You get a row up here of M1 through M5 keys. They have default functions, as you can see, but you can remap everything. So you do essentially get five programmable keys up top here, which is nice. Full function row. Now, there is no number pad, which is really cool, is the actual touchpad, there's this numlock button. And if you hit that, you actually get a full-fledged number pad on the touchpad itself that lights up. So if you are somebody who's also using this for work and you're like, I can't do without my number pad, you do get one, which is kind of nice. And I actually ended up using it.
Do you ever accidentally hit that numlock?
No, because button. It's so far up it's, there and you, okay. you have to like physically press it down.
Okay.
Like, you're like, yeah, physically. Yeah. So like I said, I actually did appreciate that. I did like that, which was really nice. The hinge design is pretty standard hinge design here. Nothing crazy or anything like that. And again, this is not going to fully like open up all the way or anything like that. Just like your normal laptop. You get a set of two speakers. Again, nothing to write home about. And then there's some activity LEDs that are going to be right on this sort of like front-facing panel there. Beyond that, it, like I said, it's kind of like your standard gaming laptop, nothing crazy, enough connectivity that you would want, I would say. The display itself, you can do two windows side by side, and pretty much every manufacturer of laptops, they're doing the larger vertical space. So yep. this is, yep. Like I said, 2560 by 1600. That definitely helps with productivity. So if you, again, are using this for productivity, you're going to have a lot more vertical space, which I do like there. The lighting on this, so you're getting full per key RGB backlighting on the keyboard itself. And then there is an RGB strip that is on the front edge of the laptop. Actually, one of the better implementations of RGB. We've seen some other ones. It's just like, it's on the back and like, you really don't see it if it's on the back. Yeah. So this is on the front and I actually like it. I think it looks quite good. And again, this can all be controlled with an Armory Crate. So Armory Crate, we all know it. You hate it. You love it. You feel like it's bloated. It worked fine on here, but this is where you're going to find all the different settings within the laptop to change things, to do different things, to, you know, do all of your customization on the laptop, the system settings, everything like that. You can go ahead and do, changing the hotkeys, all the lighting settings, everything like that. You can go ahead and do. I do have a test of the webcam in there. It's nothing to write home about, but it will get you through if you need to do a Zoom call. And the microphones sound all right if you needed to go ahead and do that. As far as performance goes, I ran this through the exact same tests that we do our fully fledged discrete graphics card on. So the exact same tests. Let's go to our gaming tests here.
That was a Gen 4 SSD, right?
Yes. So okay. I skipped through it, but
that's okay.
Yes. So here's like Crystal Dismark on the Gen 4 SSD. Yep. Performs great. No issues there. And then as far as the gaming testing goes, everything was run at like the highest settings. That's what we test our normal graphics cards on. So 2560 by 1600, you can see we're over 60 FPS. On a lot of the tests, we're getting closer to 100 FPS. And again, that's with like everything maxed out. So you could find, if you wanted to do like, get to like 100, 144, you could tweak some settings within your game and get better performance. And if we did drop down to 1920 by 1200, you can see we're like at least 100 FPS in almost every test. And going well above that. And again, you can tweak things to get the best performance that you would want But overall, the performance is really, really good. This is going to be great for gaming. Plus, you have that Ryzen processor in there. So you're not going to, like, if you did run games at 1920 by 1200, you're not going to be CPU bound. You're not going to get that with this because you have that type of processor, which is great. And for any CPU intensive tasks, it's going to be a great processor for that too. So I think they put together like just a really solid overall laptop. It doesn't have necessarily the fit and finish of like their super high end laptops, but I would call this a very, you know, mainstream laptop. It looks good. I do like the keyboard, like I said, and just everything works the way that it should. And teaming the Ryzen 9 processor, the X3D part with a 5070 Ti is, yeah, I like it. And the 5070 Ti is as high as you can go with this laptop. So they don't offer a 5080 option. And I believe you can get it 5070 and 5070 Ti. I think those are the two options that you do get. And there's a bunch of different configurations depending on how much, you know, memory you want, how much storage you want. There's a bunch of different configurations. But overall, like I said, I like this laptop. I think that if you were somebody looking for a possible desktop replacement in that sort of, in this sort of performance range, it is going to be a really good laptop. Didn't get overly loud and it didn't get crazy hot or anything either. So I liked it. Like I said, it's, I believe it's about $2,500 in this configuration.
You get it like Best Buy or anything, or you have to get it directly from them?
This configuration isn't being sold for some reason, like this specific one.
Okay.
But you can get, yeah, you can get this at Best Buy. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Newegg. The configuration is going to be slightly different. But as far as like you can get one with the 9955 HX3D 5070 Ti, the ones for some reason I couldn't find our exact model that has the 32 gigabytes of RAM. The ones that I saw only had 16.
That's an easy enough upgrade if you need to do it that way too.
Yeah, if you needed to upgrade, like I said, all that's accessible. But like I said, there's a bunch of different configurations that you can go through and see which one, you know, best fits your needs. But I think, like I said, for like sort of like a mainstream gaming laptop, it's a good laptop overall. It would have been nice to see a version with the 5080, just because that's going to give you a lot more performance and really take advantage of that 240 hertz refresh rate monitor that you are getting. That looks awesome too. So, but yeah, I think it's a good gaming laptop. And like, again, the 5.5 pounds sounds heavy, but it honestly, like, I put this in my laptop bag, and like, one, it fits in my laptop bag too. So this is a 16, not a 17, because 17 is just like doesn't fit in a lot of laptop bags. But this fits in my laptop bag, which I like normally have like a 14 inch laptop in there. So, and it didn't feel like crazy heavy. So maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just used to like, again, talking about gaming. Like, we've been doing this for a long time. Like, gaming laptop, you think of like this behemoth, like 7 to 10 pound thing.
Yep.
So, but for me, it wasn't all that heavy. So yeah. So if you're interested, definitely check out the review. Had a lot of fun reviewing that one. So move on to Case Mod Friday, and we have another build here from Sneff Computer Design, and he built this for his wife. Like, how, Ryan, why aren't you building one of these for your wife?
She doesn't game, doesn't care.
Yeah. this is a really cool build and a really cool case. This is the Xtia, I guess that's how you say that, X Proto case. And I mean, typical like Snap, just looks awesome. Instead of using normal tubing, what do we call these, Ryan?
I don't know, like distribution channels, like distro channels,
I guess he's using these distro channels instead of normal tubing, which works. Like, there's some people that kind of overdo it, but it works really well here with what he has going on.
The only thing I worry about with those things is like how heavy they are and like what's supporting it, because
you're right,
you know. Is it just the tubing that's connecting to your components? Like, that to me feels risky, but it looks good.
I never thought about that, to be honest. It must be structurally sound, I would guess. But yeah, just a really, really cool build.
I like the Alpha Cool, like the white.
Yeah.
Well, I can't, and I can't tell for the lighting if it's like a gray or a silver or a white. But yeah, I like that look there with the white the radiator.
Infinity fans.
Yep.
Yeah. Looks really, really nice. See, this is what I need. I just need something like this set on my desk, I think. That looks... Yeah. And the big reservoir.
Yeah, it's huge.
At the front. Yeah. That's really, really cool. How, like, how long...
Dominator RAM.
How long can you run this before you have to flush it out?
I mean, with that fluid in there, you could probably run it for quite a while because it's just a dye in that stuff. That's not like that... opaque stuff that can really get cloudy and gunk stuff up. So you could run this for quite a while.
And like, because I just questioned, like, so if I have this right and I drain it, do I have to like clean it out or like how does that work?
You should, yeah. Which means like, yeah, you got to take this thing apart. Yeah, especially if you like if you're doing a mix yourself and you end up with like some, you know, some contamination in there that like starts to like grow. Stuff you're really gonna have to clean that thing out.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't do.
That's why you don't do it. I know.
Yeah, because like this thing is getting bad.
But I mean, I ran you know both of my custom loops, and I never cleaned either one of them out the whole time, and they looked great. Okay. And it's not like I was like putting it together in a clean room or anything.
Yeah, but again,
I like that hint of blue lighting too in there by the GPU.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very cool. So again, shout out to Snap for this one. Always good stuff from him. Like I feel like I would want something like this where like it's just kind of subtle but cool at the same time.
Yeah, and it's just all fit around that motherboard. It's
yeah,
not it's much cool. Bigger than that. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I really, really like that. So definitely check that one out if you guys are interested. Now we'll move on to news, and we're going to start with the non-Gamescom stuff first. So if somebody's built a new PC right now, what CPU do you think they're going to use?
I mean, if they're wanting to game with it, I mean, I really hope they're going with an AMD part, specifically like an X3D, if it makes sense for their budget and build. But yeah.
I think AMD... I surprised so many people. And I think it's a factor of two things. One, it's the X3D parts, because those just make sense. They're going to give you that extra, essentially free extra FPS boost within your games and everything like that. But on top of that, they also don't run super hot.
Right.
Before the Core Ultra series, which kind of fixed Intel's issues with overheating, like I mean, even 12900K still ran hot.
Still
and 13900K was hotter. And then the 14900K was even hotter. And it was like, you needed, even if you had a 360, right? Even if you had a 360, it still would run very, very hot.
Yeah.
Like, that's why, like, so, like, I remember, was it two CESs ago? Like, every company's like, yeah, we're releasing a 420 AIO.
Right. Because, just like, to support that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, and I think that's the reason, those two factors are the reason for our first story here, which is AMD now has 1/3 of the desktop CPU market.
That's pretty wild.
I mean, if you look at it, and this is the desktop market, so you can just see like AMD's going up, you know, and it's, you know.
Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, it's like I said, it's really interesting to see, like, and I'm just like, you know, Intel's been around for so long. And it's like with everything that we've seen over the past 3 to 5 years with Intel, it makes you wonder what's going to happen to Intel.
Yeah. What's kind of surprising to me is that like the 1800X, right? First Ryzen generation came out in March of 2017. So we don't have like a noted jump with Ryzen. You know what I mean? I'd like to see what this looks like maybe another 10 years back and see if it's more flat. I was just expecting a little bit more of I guess an uptick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I said,
with Ryzen.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was like people were just always just choosing Intel. Like it just that's what they always did. And then there's probably a big percentage of people that did 12900K, 13900K builds, 14900K builds, and then like, or they're building one for a friend or whatever, and they're like, this thing's like overheating, bro.
Right. Yeah. You can't. It's like, I built it for myself. It's overheating. So I'm not going to recommend that to someone
or
else.
Like, again, like these cases that we have, right? Like, I'm looking at my case even. Like, it's all glass. There's no, the front panel's all glass. So even that side mount, it still isn't giving you the best. Like, all these, like a lot of these
Yeah.
cases for years didn't have great airflow, right? Because we all
Right.
just wanted the cool looking case. So that's a big factor too. And when you have, again, especially that 14900K that was so hot,
Yeah.
it's yeah, like just people are like, I'm just gonna go to Ryzen. And AMD was still like, I feel like they just got what gamers wanted, like they just understood it. And I felt like they gave you a good value for what you were getting, not only in the CPUs, but like even the chipset gave you more
Well,
lanes, it gave you more, you
and the
know.
platform, the socket, right? Like
Yeah.
longevity of these platforms to be able to upgrade if you wanted to along the way. And yeah.
Yeah, so I just think they've done the right thing. They've made the right decisions, and it seems like every time, because I do want to root for Intel because they've been around for so long and they've
Sure.
done so many things, but like it just seems like, you know, they're switching like CEOs, every, you know, people are getting outed and then all this stuff that's going on, like, you know, I don't think Intel's going anywhere, because if you look at like their market share in other places as far
It's
as
yeah,
like
just dominating.
enterprise and laptop and everything like that. But in this space, I think especially gamers and enthusiasts have really spoken, and they're like, hey, you know, I want something that's going to be reliable, not overheat. And I want, like, just like with graphics cards, the same thing. Like, they understand that, like, AMD, at least on the surface, seems like they get what gamers want. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So interesting to see. Very, very, very interesting to see. Well, like I said, maybe in a year we'll see how this graph looks, you know,
Yeah.
over time. So yeah, so quite interesting there, for sure. Now this was really cool. So DeBauer got his hands on the Titan ADA prototype, and we talked about this before, but now he got his hands on the power adapter
Okay.
somehow. And this is a behemoth power adapter. So it's a 12VHPWR to 6 8-pin. It's dual 12VHPWR that goes to 6 8-pin PCI Express power connectors. So this is what it looks like. So
Man.
this is the normal one that goes out
Normal,
to
yep.
three. This is that one.
And they're rubber, like, see how they're rubber? Like, they're not individual strands, they're all molded together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, can you imagine, like, if that was like a real part that like made it to market? That
Yeah.
it's so industrial like sized, you know what I mean? Like the
Yeah.
amount of power going to this thing. And
And we have a
like,
Krampus in the that's on X. So I feel like it's the first time we've got a comment from X that actually showed up in
that was
StreamYard. So
live.
that's
Yeah,
cool.
yeah.
Yeah, so very
The
cool.
again, going back to that connector, and like, you know, we had melt gate in the beginning. I still think they've got to change something up with this if they're going to continue to push this much power
Well,
through
this
it.
never
I
came
really want to
out.
see, I know, but I really want to
Yeah.
see something that screws in, like.
Yeah, maybe this would have screwed in, because this is like, you know, and again, for those who don't know, the Titan ADA would have been the 40 series. It would have been the 40 series Titan card that never came out.
Yeah.
900 watts out of this thing. Maybe, say they do put it out, right?
Yeah.
Wonder how many would have melted.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably more than zero.
Just very, very
That's just such
interesting.
a, that's a huge clip too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge, like, if you look at the connect, I mean, like,
It's big,
look how,
yeah.
yeah, look at
I mean,
that.
that card's enormous, first of all.
Yeah, the card's
Look
massive.
at it though, compare, like, compare that, you know, connector to the motherboard components that are there. It's
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. At least like the connectors are like, this just seems like a lot more heavy duty than.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Cause those don't make me feel like I'm worried about the pin connectors inside of all those. Stranded cables, right? Those are all molded and are going to be like more robust in holding the cable where it needs to be inside of that connector.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like, yeah. So yeah, this is like I said, check out DeBauer's video. He has a video on it. We have it in the article if you want to check it out, but this is really cool to see like what was being worked on. Right. Cause this never came out. Right. But like this did exist in some form, which is pretty interesting. I don't think we were ready for this. Could you imagine you're like building something for a customer. They're like, yeah, we'll take, I need like a system with four of these, you know,
I don't even know what power. You'd have multi like, what power even, supplies,
not even the power supply, but like what, cause look how big the card is. Like you would huge. Even if you did like CEB motherboard or an XL-ATX motherboard or whatever, like you could only probably do two of these
at the most,
just like space wise, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because if this was like an extended ATX, you could put a second one down here and it would hang off the bottom. But like, yeah, interesting stuff. So like I said, check out the video from DeBauer. Very cool to see that there, for sure. That's so neat. Yeah. Okay. We're going to get into game. Oh, we'll do one more story before Gamescom. So this was actually really cool too. Biwin came out with this mini SSD, and it's not the type of mini SSD that you're going to think of, right?
Yeah.
So this is essentially made to go in a card slot, like in a portable, like a portable game console, or like anything that has like a what is that, a XDXC or micro SD slot, right?
Yep.
But it's like this tray design. So you insert this entire tray, as you can kind of see down here, like you insert this entire tray in that slot. This is like a normal slot on a mobile game console or whatever it may be, right? And it has speeds of up to 3,700 megabytes a second.
Jeez.
Yeah. So inside it's an M.2 2230 that essentially goes in the place of a micro SD card. And I guess this piece is some type of adapter that allows it to do that and somehow gives you that type of speed in that slot.
I mean, this could be big, right? Being able to add those types of capacities and performance compared to a micro SD card. Yeah, this could be huge.
Yeah, this could be crazy. So it comes with this little tool that allows you to eject it. Mm-hmm. But once it's in there, like in this little adapter, it won't really make a difference, I don't think. But yeah, I think this is just super, super cool.
Yeah, we'll see if it gets adopted by
devices. Yeah, 512, 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte. That will obviously go up over time as well. But yeah, for laptops, tablets, smartphones, cameras, handheld gaming consoles. But yeah, we'll see. Like these certain smaller devices, especially the gaming. This is so much easier to add than having to especially for like somebody who just buys like a mobile gaming console. They're not so much of like a PC person. They can just add this instead of like opening the back up of one of those mobile gaming consoles. Cause like I know the Zotac one has two slots, but the second slot's empty. You have to like open it up and actually put that in there. Right. Pretty interesting. We'll see, like Ryan said, if this actually gets adopted. But yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool.
We had an upgrade in the chat asking about the be quiet version of the cable. I presume that was in reference to that 12V HPWR cable. I know they make a cable, but I don't think it's one like the one DeBauer was looking at that I'm aware of anyhow.
So be quiet has a
cable. Yeah, they have an adapter cable.
Mm-hmm. Like this.
Yep, that one's the one I was looking at. Now, if they made one bigger that like put two of those connectors together, I'm not aware of one.
Like this one? Oh wait, no, that's the extender. Never mind. Yeah. So like all the different companies have these. I think it's maybe what you're asking. Most of them are well made. I think the NVIDIA one's fine. I think honestly, a lot of the times it is user error or it's cheap power supply with like a 5080, 5090, right? Or like some type thing for the most part. Or like sometimes there's just bad power fluctuations. That's when these like bad things happen. But what we were talking about was this prototype cable for an unreleased Titan level style graphics card that looked like big with two 12 VHPWRs that goes out to 6-8 pins. But yeah, any of the 12 VH, like if you're buying it from like a known company, like I wouldn't buy one off like AliExpress or anything like that. But if you're buying a 12 VHPWR power adapter, just buy it off like a known brand. I know Cable Mod has theirs. I know like there's a handful of brands that you can trust with that type of stuff. So yeah. But now to Gamescom, and Gamescom is mostly
are you skipping the third story?
No, that's from Games. That's from Gamescom.
Oh, it was from Gamescom. Okay,
yeah, because this was shown, I believe, at Gamescom. So. Yeah, most are like Gamescom is like mostly is gaming stuff, but we want to talk about this because I saw this and I just don't know how to feel about it. It is cool. So Asus is celebrating their 30th anniversary. And at Gamescom, they launched their ROG Matrix RTX 5090, 30th anniversary edition. And For reference, before we show you what this card looks like, let me find my picture here.
I wonder, you know what? I'm looking something up too.
Did I not? Oh, I think I deleted it. Let's actually bring this up. RTX 4090 Matrix. So for reference, the RTX 4090 Matrix card. This is what it looked like. Let's bring this up. So this is what it looked like. A really sleek looking card, AIO, liquid cooled, very like sleek, minimalist design, right? Hybrid card, really, really cool looking, right? So this was the 4090. So you're expecting the 5090 to be like awesome. And I like, I don't know what you would call this. Let's just say that. So here is the ROG Matrix RTX 5090.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a huge fan of this. I think
they took the video down?
Huh.
Interesting. They took the video down.
I think it would have looked a lot better without having the rounded section at the back. Just carry those straight lines out.
It's a blower card.
I know.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it does look like it. It's not though. But yeah, carry those straight lines out, right? Or like you and I were talking the other day, I was like, just keep your astral design and tweak it to be whether you want this red color, right? They've done the gold and turquoise.
Why
version.
Did they make it red? I mean, I guess that's like the original Asus color
ROG,
is
right.
The red, right. Is the red. And this deep dark red is that original ROG color.
Yeah. But make your astral card like that and add some additional tweaks to it, right? This
Here's what I think happened. So this is a BTF card. Okay. So it's their BTF card. And I think what happened is the powers that be were like, we want the card to be BTF because we really want to push BTF. And they're like, how do we make like our Matrix cards like usually a hybrid card? It's like almost always been so we have to make it a BTF. So it really can't be a hybrid card because I don't know how the power delivery works. Like, you know, I don't know. But like they had to make it a BTF card because like here's the back. You can see where like the actual connector, like PCI Express connector, you can still use this, but it's covered because you use the BTF connection. And then they just like even the back,
Yeah, the back, it's not a pass through.
So, you know, it's so underwhelming. Just like, there's no, like, where's like the big ROG logo on the back?
But
like,
it's got an infinity mirror around the curved edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not so, an impressive design.
So, for contrast, I made this picture the other day. We went from this to this.
Yeah.
Which one? Yeah.
And well, like, and I mean, the 40 series car, like, that's a big, the one up top almost doesn't, like, if you didn't know anything about computers, you'd be like, I don't know what component this is. It doesn't look like a standard GPU, which is cool if you know, you know, are familiar
like,
with GPUs.
Like, even but, previous Matrix cards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I get it. Maybe this was like a throwback to like the old blower style cards because this is their 30th anniversary. Right. I just think that, like,
well, I even went back and looked at their 20th anniversary, their 980 Ti, and it looks pretty good. It's gold and black. And
what know, is it? 980 Ti Matrix?
It's the 980. It's not the Matrix, but it's a. I just searched Asus 20th anniversary. And it came up with this
20th anniversary gold edition.
Gold edition, right?
I remember that card. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it. You think about it, it's from 2015, yeah. So it's not super long ago, obviously. But that was a decent looking card. And we've come a long ways in 10 years with GPU design and cooler design. They look a lot flashier now. But
let me see if there's like previous Matrix cards.
But yeah, I
like that. This just the design for me is just like, I don't know. Like I said, maybe they were trying to go to like the sort of like nostalgic retro blower style with the old color, and this is what they came up with. But I would have, yeah, I mean, I think an Astral just would have looked better.
I don't think there's any nostalgia for the old NVIDIA blower style cards though, because they were hot and loud, right? So somebody either wasn't around for that and thought it'd be a good idea, or I don't
know. This card, if you connect the BTF connector as well as the PCI Express or the 12VH PWR, you will be able to do 800 watts in OC mode, 2730 megahertz. And it's the high, it would be the highest clocked RTX 5090 out there. 1,000 units being sold. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like, and it reminds you of like an AMD card almost.
No.
Yeah, kind of.
Again, just stop. Don't make it rounded at the end. Keep those straight lines going to the back, and it would have been a better looking card.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, you know, I think it's a cool showpiece, especially the end, because it does have the infinity mirror. Kind of hard to see in this picture, but there's an infinity mirror back there. And it's a big card, too. Like, it's huge. Oh, yeah. And then I also made this picture because my roommate in college had this phone. And
Yeah.
So it's like made me think of the phone because it was like like a normal phone, but then it was like round, round at the end down there. But in any case, I don't know how much you think this is going to be. It's going to be really expensive.
I don't know how they can really charge that much more than the.
I mean, you're going to have to charge a lot more.
But what for? What? What are you getting? Other than that ability to overclock it higher because of the additional power connections, like it's not water cooled, you know, it's not a hybrid card like we were talking about. So you don't have the cost there. Like, I don't know. I'm sure they will charge more.
But this is like the 9800 GT Matrix. So it had the same type of blower style. Maybe, like I said, it's a throwback to this.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look how far we've come.
Oh, I know. Like my first GPUs, they're just like bare PCBs with capacitors hanging off
of them, and
like a couple of heat sinks on the memory.
But like I said, pretty interesting. It'll be very interesting to see the price. I would definitely take the whatever that edition of the, not the actual one made of gold, but the one that's like gold themed Astral.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That one I would take over this, I think. Oh, although this day. Yeah, because I think that one's very limited as well. So, but yeah, pretty interesting design. I think they could have done something a lot cooler, in my opinion. That's my opinion. So we're getting to the point where we're getting game bundles back with graphics cards.
I saw.
Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting.
So first, Intel, they got the big one. They got the game that we've been talking about, Battlefield 6. Will be bundled with new Intel CPUs. Maybe that's just how they're going to get their market share back. New Intel CPUs as well as GPUs will get a copy of Battlefield 6, which is probably the most anticipated game coming out this holiday season. This promotion runs from August 25th to September 7th. Eligible hardware includes all the way back 13th, 14th gen core. Wow. Processors, Core Ultra processors, Arc, Alchemist, and Battlemage GPUs. We have a full list of all of the processors and graphics cards in here that will qualify for this offer. So
it's just individual cards. It's not like systems that include those.
I don't believe it's systems. No.
Okay.
That's.
I was surprised at how short the window is for this. The 25th through the 7th, right? So that's not very long. But then when you look at the width of those products, okay, it kind of stretches out that way.
I wonder how much this actually costs. Like a
right, is the game worth more than the 13,400?
Let's see. I don't know how much this processor is. So I mean the Core i5 13,400 is $169. On okay. Amazon right now.
And you're gonna, so. And then you're going to get a game that's cost 50% of that.
Yeah, that's a deal.
Yeah.
Or how much is Intel Arc 550M, isn't that a mobile part?
I think so.
How much is the A580? Probably $200? $269? I don't know. Can you even buy those anymore?
I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
So the Intel Arc, that's an A3, was it A380 in here? No. So the A580. So an A580 is $248 right now. Yeah. So you could you could kind of make it worth it, I guess, if you really wanted to, but
sure.
But I do like it. Like I said, this is one of the biggest games coming out. So Intel got I don't know how much they paid to get it, but they got it. And then Nvidia is doing one with another very anticipated game, Borderlands 4, with RTX 50 series GPUs. And this goes from 5090 down to 5070. So okay. Anything from 5090 to 5070, you'll be able to get Borderlands 4, which I saw some cool stuff at Gamescom with Borderlands 4. So this is a game that, again, they're really touting like DLSS 4 and everything like that with it.
Series just keeps going. I played the first one for a while. I didn't finish it, and I never played any of the others, but it was fun.
I played it for a while. It's a lot of fun. We used it for a while for benchmarking as well. Mm-hmm. I just thought, it's still, even though it's, it's since the first one, the cell shading and everything like that, but I always thought that was super cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Just, the art style cool. of the game. But, mm-hmm. yeah, so NVIDIA's bundling this. We don't know. AMD has to do something.
Yeah, they got to have some game.
Yeah, because Intel has it now. Intel has, and again, these are not some $5 games, right? These are AAA titles that are highly anticipated titles. So, yeah, Call of Duty.
That's what I was going to say. I was maybe we're going to see the next Call of Duty be an AMD
partnership. Yeah, Call of Duty 7 is coming out, November? I think that's when it's coming out. So maybe that will be the AMD. They have to counter with at least a AAA title, you would think, right?
Yeah.
So I like it. I like this because there was time, for a while we weren't getting any bundles or any good ones. You'd be for this free to play game, you get some skins. And it's sweet, bro. So you're getting some AAA titles with buying CPUs and graphics cards. So I definitely like that. Do you think AMD will do both a CPU and GPU offer if they do it?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I hope they do.
Bundle it up.
ROG Xbox Ally and ROG Xbox Ally X. That is the mobile game console that Asus is making for Microsoft or Xbox. They announced that it will be available October 16th. No word yet on pricing. That's going to all revolve around tariff stuff and all that stuff that's going on. But yeah, we have release dates, October 16th. I think this is going to be big, you know, because the non-PC crowd, like the Xbox, the portable crowd, like they don't really know about these things, you know? Yep. And if Microsoft does it, it's going to be pretty big. So I expect this to be a pretty big seller. So yeah, October 16th, no word yet on pricing. I think they're going to be around the same price, like as what we've seen. So like on the high end, like the Ally X is the higher end one. That one, like it's like $900 and then $549 for the standard.
I think that'd be acceptable. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, again, these prices are going to jump around just because of tariff and everything like that. But I don't know how I feel about this controller design.
I know I'm looking at that there and I'm like, how wide is this thing? Cause I'm looking down at my keyboard now and I'm like, all right, I have a 75, you know,
Is
it going to be as wide as the keyboard?
The display, I believe, is a
7-inch,
7 or 8-inch. I forget. Yeah. But yeah,
quite a bit of controller on each side.
Yeah, it's just big. Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I always say with these things, just wait till reviews come out. Yep. But I think it's going to sell well. If Xbox or Microsoft would have teamed with anybody, I'm glad they did it with Asus, like instead of like an Antec, you know.
Yes.
There is nothing like that to make this. So yeah. So I think it's going to be a good device. If this is your thing, so we'll see all that on October 16th when that comes out. And then new Warhammer, Dawn of War 4.
Okay.
Announced. It looks fun.
Did we ever get that? Wasn't there a Warhammer game you were looking forward to?
That was a different style. This is like an
RTS. No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Warhammer essentially was an RTS from the beginning.
Yeah.
So this is coming out, when does it say? 2026, I believe? Yeah, set to launch in 2026. There is a trailer, which does look kind of good. Let's do this. And go to the actual gameplay. There's all this. Hey, did you ever watch that Warhammer movie?
No.
Okay, all the way at the end is the gameplay. Jeez. But like classic like RTS style, which I do like a lot. You know what I mean?
Yep. And we just saw Ashes of the Singularity 2 last week. Like getting a wave of these games, it feels like.
This looks like it's gonna be good too. Like just like I don't know, it looks kinda cool. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of little animations there for that
comment. Yeah.
Like the guy picked up the
Yeah, so very cool. So that's going to be coming out and everything like that. I feel like we're getting some like the good games back. Like we get Battlefield, Call of Duty's coming out. We have Borderlands 4 coming out. I mean,
GTA 6
eventually.
Around a long corner. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like we'll have all these games coming out. I'm not going to be able to get any work done, I feel. Especially like holiday comes and you're just like,
oh, yeah.
I just want a game, and especially like not so much me anymore because I live in California and it's nice out. But like,
nice out, exactly.
When I was in PA, and like I know Ryan, like when you get the snow and stuff, you're like, oh, it's cold outside. I could just sit inside and game and like, yeah. Those are the best times I feel too, especially holiday too when it's like, you know, the in laws are upstairs and everybody's over and you're just like, oh, I kind of want to sneak away and play some games, and you'll have a ton to play this holiday season, so it'll be pretty cool. We have Ellie from Liquid House. In the house. Good to see you here. Of course, they just did their podcast too, which I didn't get to watch yet. So I'll have to watch their podcast again whenever I have time, because I don't have time for anything these days. But that is it for news for the week. There should be more stuff coming out of Gamescom. So definitely, you know, check the news section on the website, because we'll be covering a lot more of that stuff as well. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a really cool keyboard. So this is the Melgeek Made 68 Air. This is a mechanical, or not mechanical, this is a magnetic keyboard. It's a low profile keyboard too. So it's super, super like small. Low profile switches, low profile keycaps. And again, it's magnetic too. So very accurate. You, even though it's low profile, you will be able to set your actuation points and do all of that. Really sleek design on this too, with like this top bar that lights up and everything like that. So I will have that for you next week. There could be some other stuff. Just again, just depends on what all I get done, because I just have a million things to do. I didn't put a question of the week. I'm trying to think of a question of the week. I forgot to put a question of the week this week. I'm trying to think. What is your favorite, since we were talking about RTS, what's your favorite RTS of all time? I know mine.
I really liked, was it Command and Conquer 4? There's a couple. I liked Tiberium Wars, and I also liked Generals, and like General Zero, was it Zero War or Zero Hour? I forget now. It's been so long. Okay. I like some of the Command and Conquer series the most.
Yeah, the Command and Conquer series was really, really good.
I do love like Warcraft and StarCraft, but
StarCraft's the GOAT. Like, that's just the one. That's just was
okay.
I wish I could like go into Battle.net and like see my like, I don't think you can.
How much time you played?
Like the hours that I like, because I played that. I mean, however long ago, 20 years ago or whatever. I mean, long time.
Some of our friends that, you know, we'd host like small LAN parties, they like would always try and play, and I played a little bit of it, like Age of Mythology.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I never could get into Age of Mythology, but yeah, Command and Conquer, some of those generals titles.
Those were good. Those were always fun. Like, I feel like that genre, like, just,
I don't know why. Because why it's kind of died off. Because now I'm thinking, like, I would have loved back in the day, like, my monitor up above is a 32-inch 4K. Like, if you could, like, back in the day, you're stuck on, like, an 800 by 600 resolution monitor.
Yeah.
We're just wishing you had all this landscape. And now it's like, you've got this huge, why haven't we taken advantage of these big screens and high resolution? And maybe I'm just so far removed from those games in the last 10 years. But
no, I mean, I don't think there's, like, any crazy new RTS that's, like, taken over. I just think...
Right.
You know, the battle royales and those type of games have just taken over whatever
MMOs.
And all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, that is essentially it for the week. Next week, like I said, we have some cool stuff going on, and it is gaming night, so we are going to be gaming, even though I'm
for a little bit
tired for some reason. I feel like we're just getting back into that, like, tired, we're holiday. Ryan, like I said, Ryan, kids are back to school,
so early mornings.
But we will be on Twitch if you want to continue to hang out with us. twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will be running that stream, playing some Apex Legends, not Battlefield 6, unfortunately, but some Apex Legends. So that is essentially it, and we will see everybody next week.